So presumably, 3.7 billion years ago, there were protocells, right? And then there were bacteria.
Okay.
Then multicelled organisms evolved. And with the evolution of multicelled organisms, organ systems and stuff, very, very slowly came into existence. Like the first multicelled organism was Anabaena, which had two cell types, one that fixes nitrogen, called a heterocyst, and the others that are just cells. And then by the Ediacaran, which is about 700 million years ago, we get soft animals that leave very few remnants, but they're multicelled organisms. Then there's the famous Cambrian explosion, you know, 540 million years ago on a Monday, and we get most of the phyla in the Cambrian, and then we get the vertebrates in the next, you know, in the Ordovician. So once you've got multicelled organisms, there is the becoming of multicelled organisms, which can be sexual or not. Yes? Okay? Like Hydra can bud, and we typically can't. Okay? Once you've got multicelled organisms and organ systems, now you got to figure out how did this thing, like you know, come into existence, and your liver actually works with your kidney, actually works with your nose, actually works with your arms, to create a functional whole called you, in your world. At every level, I think it's important to think about organisms as achieving a kind of functional closure or a functional sufficiency by which they create themselves and persist and propagate in their worlds and can improve. My friend Richard Mari stressed this, that functions have to do with those causal consequences that sustain the whole in this world and can improve. Hirsch says that rightly, because otherwise, you know, what do you say about a hurricane? Does it have functions? And I think he's found an answer to it. So now I've got something that's multi-scaled. Okay. Then one kind of question is there any law by which these things became? Well, if my argument is right, with Giuseppe Longo, no, there is no entailing law. This has huge consequences. Pause over it. If there's no law for the becoming of the biosphere, and there's no prestatable set of functions, then the dream that there's a theory down there that will entail the entire becoming of the universe is wrong. So if what Longo and I are saying is right, reductionism fails. And that's been the dream since Pythagoras. Okay, so there's a lot at stake here. Okay, so now we need multi-scale modeling. I'm not an expert on it, but there's an important problem. So let me try to say it. The function of your heart is to pump blood, but it also jiggles water in your pericardial sac. So I'm using the word function, and I defend that in the paper that you read, biological sense of function. So in biology, the function of a part isn't all of its causal consequences, but a subset of them. Okay. Now, suppose we want to do multi-scale modeling from subcellular level, atomic levels, up to all of you in your world. Okay? What are the causal consequences of molecules in you and your heart and your nose and whatever that constitute the functions? We don't think that everything has a function, whether we think natural selection works or not, and I do, but we think that some things are just there by drift and by accident. Okay? So how do we pick out the relevant variables to make our multi-scale model? Thing one. Mm-hmm. One approach to it is, as Harvey figured out, that the function of the heart was to pump blood, you know, without waiting for Darwin. So we can give functional accounts because it keeps you alive. Okay, so we can try. But in general, it isn't going to be easy to figure out what the function of all kinds of things in you are. Like, you know, what's the function of your appendix? Or is it just a vestigial thing hanging around? Or does it do something useful, like carry a spare copy of the bacteria in your guts? So one question is, what are the relevant variables that are functional? One approach is to try to figure that out. Another is to say, let's just look at all the causal consequences. Okay. And the functions are among them. Well, that's okay, except that we're not just classical, we're also quantum. Okay, now if they're quantum, then there's all these weird things in quantum mechanics about possibilities and measurement and you know, what's real, and is measurement real, or is the universe splitting in the multiple world interpretation. Mm-hmm. All the weirdities of quantum mechanics are upon us to think about, and good grief, because I just set that aside. Suppose I give you an automobile, and you take it to an auto repair shop. Kind of, we know how an automobile works. You know, we can take it apart, we can say what's wrong with it, and we can kind of fix it. We think we know something like that in biology. But we know the functions of the part in the car we designed it, yes? But we don't know that for us.
Yep.
So multi-scale modeling has all of these funny ambiguities in it that it seems to me we need to think about. Yeah, tell me all the uses of a screwdriver. Tell me all the functions that can arise in biological evolution. Well, you can't. It's unprestatable. There's no space of statable biological functions, I think. And we think, since Anaximander and Pythagoras, that the world is statable. Not if there are indefinitely many functions, but it's indefinite, you know, the argument.
So, like human beings beginning to understand the fact that they are multi-scale,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then being able to look at evolution as something that they are actively taking part in every time they work on something, or...
We are.
Yeah.
We're taking part in cultural evolution, we're taking part in the creation of history.
Mm-hmm.
The bacteria in your gut are evolving. We're altering Africa, and the Ebola virus and other viruses are coming out of the wild and invading us. Evolution is happening in front of us. We've made 80,000 kinds of molecules we've dumped into the atmosphere with God knows what consequences, which is another part of the completion of systems medicine. Now we're going to complete systems medicine when evolution keeps happening on a reasonably rapid timescale. Look at the emergence of resistant bacteria, right? And what's going on with the species in your gut. And we're dumping things into the environment, and kids are playing with apps and going over and joining ISIS because ISIS sort of looks like, you know, the perfect real-life killer game where you shoot them and it turns out somebody dies. We don't know what experiments we're doing. Turing invents the Turing machine about 33. A few years later, John von Neumann, Turing's invention of the Turing machine did not cause, but it enabled von Neumann to invent the von Neumann architecture, which did not cause, but enabled IBM to make mainframes whose widespread sale created the markets that did not cause, but enabled, along with the invention of the chip, the personal computer. I can say this easily because I've said it a bunch, which created an adjacent possible. Lots of things can be done with a personal computer, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you couldn't say them all ahead of time, any more than the screwdriver. But among the things that were in the adjacent possible created by it was word processing, and Microsoft came into existence. But the personal computer didn't cause word processing, it enabled it. Word processing then enabled file sharing, you know, with the invention of the modem. And widespread file sharing did not cause, but it enabled and created a need for the World Wide Web, which did not cause, but enabled the possibility of selling things on the web. You know, and now we've got Craigslist and stuff like that. Then there's content on the web, which did not cause, but enabled Google and Yahoo and Facebook and social media, and played a role in the Arabic Spring. Nobody could have said Arabic Spring or Facebook before Turing invented the Turing machine, right? So right in front of us in the economy, there is a becoming that's unprestatable. Therefore, economics, which thinks it can have mathematical laws for the economy, and it does, can't talk about innovation. It's simply beyond the framework because it's unprestatable, or partially unprestatable. And the same thing's true for biological evolution. Who'd have thought elephants, right?